Speaking of interesting takes on things, Bob King, Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy. And this morning, as I was driving and pouting, I noticed the moon next to Venus and Mars.
Jupiter. Yeah.
Okay, so it's like conjunction.
Close. They're kinda just in the same area of the sky, but they will, yes, they'll be closing in 2 mornings from now. They'll be kind of lined
closer?
Up. Oh, yeah, because the moon is moving to the left towards the sunrise.
Okay.
One fist, if you reach your arm out.
Okay.
One fist each day.
I try to be really careful about that as I'm driving down Woodland in the morning on my way to work.
Not the best place to watch a conjunction, but we'll take it anywhere.
Or to be measuring and noodling around. I mean, a person needs to pull over and park and pay attention and not try to drive. And I'm terrible about.
Yeah, careful. The legislature will get on that one before too long, too.
There will be no stargazing.
No stargazing through windshields.
Yeah,
absolutely
exactly.
Not. Pull over.
Stop gawking. I'm a bad gawker and pay attention.
I'm always looking too.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, conjunction, getting even better, and that's good to know. I mean, if there's an upside to this weather, it's beautiful, clear skies.
Yes. The moon will be thinning out in the coming mornings, which turns into a nicer looking crescent, I think. It gets sharper tipped as it moves towards Venus and Jupiter. I was even out. I was out at about 7, my gosh, almost 7:30, and I could still see the moon. That was easy. And if I looked, I could see Venus and Jupiter. And that was only about 40 minutes, 30 minutes before sunrise. So they are up and out. This week, though, your description was really good on mushing. It could apply to amateur astronomy as well.
Okay.
Moments of terror if you go out.
Uh-oh.
I had a moment of terror when I went out this past week. I set up the telescope out in the country during a very cold night. I didn't realize it was as cold as it was. It was north of Duluth, and I looked at my thermometer once I set up because I thought, gee, my face is unusually cold.
Why does the air hurt my
it
face?
It hurts my face. And I looked at it, and it was minus 34, and I jumped back like, what? What am I doing here, you know? And I stayed out for about 1 hour, and then I got back in the car and went home.
How did your equipment manage?
The equipment was just fine. It was a bit stiff, the telescope.
A little logy kind of.
And yeah, when I was focusing, the eyepiece made a squeaky noise, but it was all that was, you know.
You would have been fine as long as you didn't try to call anybody.
Yeah,
I've discovered that the camera equipment functions fairly well, and obviously your telescope can function fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
But
no
the batteries. Phones just go, oh, I'm cold.
Yeah,
and they're
just
done.
Yeah, poop out.
They're just done.
No, the scope thankfully uses no batteries, so it works great. But this week and tonight, and as you mentioned, Lisa, it's clear skies do come with the cold weather. That's the bonus out of all this situation here. It's supposed to be clearing off tonight in the Duluth and North Shore region, so we'll have an opportunity to go out, if just for a few minutes, to look at the International Space Station.
Ooh, cool.
Yes, this week and next week, all the way through about February 10th, you can go out and look at the space station. It will be making just a short pass tonight. The passes vary night to night. They always begin. The station appears in the western sky, whether that's west, northwest, or southwest. Tonight it'll be northwest, and it moves to the east. It moves that direction because it's moving with Earth's rotation. When NASA sends these ships and satellites into space, they take advantage of the Earth's speed of its rotation, and they get a free, almost like 800 and some miles per hour, a boost if they launch it with the rotation of the Earth. In other words, if they send it into an orbit around the Earth going from west to east, that's the direction in which the planet turns. Anyway, comes from the west, moves to the east. Usually you see a pass, they last about 5 minutes. Tonight's will be brief because the space station will head into Earth's shadow and disappear fairly quickly. Look in the northwestern sky, and that pass will begin at around 7:05, 7:06. Tomorrow night will be a nicer pass across the northern sky. And on my blog, I will put in some times. I'm going to be updating times for when people can view. Plus,
fabulous.
They will find lots of several different websites they can go to find out their own times for their particular city. And there are a couple of different pieces of software that they can download, some free apps for their phone that will alert them to really great passes of the International Space Station for iPhone and Android. So they can go to the blog now and get that, and then I'll update the passes later this morning.
And, of course, we've got a link to the blog, and we'll get the links up to date so that it'll be easy for folks to just go to KUMD.org and click on the associated links and go from there. Fantastic.
When people are out, when you listener folks are out there looking at the space station, take a look at the color of it. You may notice it is not pure white. It has a little bit of a yellowish hue, and that yellow color comes from this gigantic solar panels that are wrapped in a type of foil that's got a gold color to it. So the space station has a slight yellow color. Also, it can get as bright almost as Venus, and its light varies as it crosses through the sky. It's moving. It'll be fainter when it's low in the west and get brighter when it's overhead. You'll also notice that it moves more quickly when it's nearby. That's because it's closer to you. Of course, close is a relative term. It's 250 miles high. So when it's directly overhead, that's the distance between you and the space station. And it's moving at 17,500 miles an hour.
So what kind of mileage do you think it's getting?
It's getting really good mileage up there because there's
that's
no friction.
Right.
There's no need to refuel once you send it into orbit.
Well, not only that, it's moving faster than it would otherwise because it's sort of skitching, kind of.
Kind of. What was that?
That's what we used to call it when you grab onto like a bumper and you'd sort of slide along on the ice behind it. I think we called that skitching.
Oh, skitching. Okay.
Back in the day.
It's skitching off Earth's gravity. What it's doing is that it's... When you look at it, the space station is actually falling the entire time you're looking at it. It is falling towards the Earth, but it is moving so quickly that it never hits the ground. It goes around the curvature of the Earth without touching. That is an orbit. It's actually falling. And the reason why, I should say, because of the fact that it's falling continuously, that is the reason why there is no the astronauts float around inside the space station, why there's no, what we say, there's no gravity in there. They are weightless because it's like if you were in an elevator and the elevator was falling at 17,000 miles an hour,
right,
you would be weightless in that elevator.
So you wouldn't have to jump up in the air and hope that you didn't, because you'd just be up in the air.
You'd be... Right, because you're not connected to the elevator, you would just float. And the space, everybody is weightless up there because the space station is falling towards the Earth.
Now, in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is, of course, another definitive guide to astronomy.
Oh, excellent guide, yes.
You're supposed to fall and then miss the ground.
That's exactly what's happening with the space station. It falls and it misses the ground. By the way, this is a great proof that the Earth is not flat.
And that Douglas Adams knew what he was talking about.
Yes, of course.
Okay, so why is it proof that the Earth is not flat?
If the Earth were flat, the space station would fall towards the Earth and it would hit the Earth. Because the Earth is a sphere, it goes around the corner to the backside.
Got it.
And it keeps going round and round. You can only do that on a sphere, fall towards it and never hit it. So it's just an unusual thing. People do say that there's no gravity up there, but of course there is gravity. The space station is in orbit around the Earth, kept there by the Earth's gravity. But the falling is what's causing the weightlessness.
I cannot believe the scientific ground that we have covered in just the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, well, we can do quantum theory next week.
We just have to pick a good author to accompany it.
I'm
actually pretty impressed. All right, one final question.
Yes.
When you go out to stargaze, and you know you're a dedicated stargazer, this is something you enjoy, but when you go out to stargaze or to photograph, what do you wear when it's weather like this?
Oh, yeah. I have a sweater, and then over that, a down coat. And then I have one of those bomber hats.
Okay.
I wear deerskin thinsulate lined gloves.
Okay.
Long underwear. And then my latest accessory, which I got for Christmas, this makes all the difference in the entire universe.
Okay.
Is I've got a pair of these Carhartt lined bib overalls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you strap those babies
nice
on.
Nice bibbles. Yeah.
You go out there, and your rear, everything is covered, you know?
Yep.
And it's impenetrable, practically. That's what I was wearing when it was, pardon me, minus 34.
Right.
And it was good
so
for an hour.
Were, so, and you I didn't even you didn't even notice that it was 34 below until looked at the thermometer. You knew it was cold.
I knew it was cold. I didn't know because it was just one of those little cold pockets north of Duluth, you know, towards the Brimson area, which is like one of the coldest places on Earth.
Okay.
But...
And then, you know, so yeah, bomber hat, so you're protecting your ears and stuff.
And then heavy, you know, like Sorel or lacrosse or whatever, you know, lined boots.
Right.
And then I've got a little neck warmer that I pull up to my cheeks.
Right.
So
be smart. If you're going to go out, don't plan to stay out a long time. Cover up all the exposed stuff because they're talking about, you know, of course, the danger of frostbite.
Right.
Or just do, I mean, I don't know if I'm willing to go to these lengths, but it's possible that I could actually clean the glass on one of my windows. And maybe even, you know, if that's what I wanted to do, I could clean the glass, or I could even open the window, whoosh, take a picture, snap, snap, whoosh, shut the window again.
Well, you should wait till warmer weather to clean the glass on the window, I think.
It's mainly just I've discovered a warm paper towel takes the nose prints off, and that's really...
Oh, I see what we're talking
that's
about.
That's really what you need to do is dog nose prints. And, you know, the outside can be grubby, too, but there's a lot of nose prints on the inside.
Yeah, sometimes they get in the way, don't they? But, yeah, do dress warm. Nice thing about the space station is you know exactly when it's coming. So all you need to know is go out 2 minutes or 3 minutes beforehand... face the right direction, and just wait for it to show. And then once it's gone in 3, 4, 5 minutes, head back in. We're talking 7 minutes total time, potentially. That's it. So
this
dress
is
warmer,
perfect.
You're fine.
That was really smart of you and the space station to plan this to coincide with this cold weather so people could have this great experience and yet be safe.
Yeah, astronauts are great people.
I'm impressed with you. So are you, Bob. Bob King is our host for... Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy, and he joined us this morning as our guest here on 103.3 KUMD.